went to their home in Georgia
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome. This is Pastor David, and I am with
Pastor Barry.
Yes. And what a wonderful time it is, brother, as we approach our Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Christ, and all that goes with that, you know.
The real holiday.
The real holiday. Yeah, the real holiday, not the fake holiday where people have invented stuff so they can make money.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to be cynical, but you know, mostly the secular Christmas is all about money and, you know, other stuff that has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. And yeah. In some cases, they're trying to stamp out the, you know.
Well, an appliance sale doesn't really excite me as much as the birth of Christ. Or
amen. Yeah.
A BOGO and a pair of shoes. You get excited about that, David? Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, I remember when I was first married, I got my wife a clock radio. I think it was actually for her birthday, not for Christmas, but didn't care what it was for. It was a lousy gift. And she was very upset, you know.
I wonder why.
Well.
At least you didn't buy her a gym membership.
Well, no. No. Hey, listen, folks, especially if you guys that are just first married, don't buy a gym membership for your wife. Unless she asks you to.
Yeah, they think on a different level than us.
Oh, man. They don't.
Multiple levels.
We never understand them. But no. We love them because they're special creatures. But
they help us grow up.
They do. So last week, if you remember, we discussed when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to announce that she was going to have the Son of God growing in her womb and all that went with that. And then now this week, we're going to be looking at her visit to her cousin Elizabeth and what was going on there.
Ah.
So I've asked my brother Barry to read it's again from Luke, it's chapter 1. This time, verses 36 through 45.
And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.
Mm.
Oh.
Wow, that is also the word of the Lord, and it's powerful.
Yes, it is.
And there's a lot of things, again, going on. You remember last week we encouraged you, as when you read the Bible, to dig deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read between the lines. Ask, you know, some good questions like, what God, what is going on here? Show me, help me to get connected with the people, because they're people and I'm a people, and we have some common feelings, you know.
Sure we do.
And but this was the next iteration. You know, Mary was a few months along, I guess, by this time.
Mm-hmm.
And her cousin, and she was led by the Holy Spirit to visit her cousin. Probably for a lot of reasons. Now, it may also have been, you know, we don't know for sure. I'm not going to say this with any authority, but the fact she was beginning to show, and that, you know, maybe she needed someone to go to you know, be with for a while to help
with family that might understand a little bit.
But understand, and sure. There was also Elizabeth was a woman of faith,
mm-hmm.
And of course we know her husband was a priest in the temple, that they themselves were, you know, dealing with their own godly stuff that they'd been called to. And of course, we know that Elizabeth was bearing John the Baptist, John the guy who had become John the Baptist.
That's true. And Zechariah was mum the word at the moment because his lips were sealed. So this conversation only included Mary and Elizabeth.
That's right.
We see that he didn't jump into the conversation anywhere along the line here.
No. Well, he disbelieved what the angel told him.
Sure.
When he said that his wife, who was they considered barren, unable to bear.
Sure.
And the scripture says she was, what does it say? She was her age, she was an older woman? Or
she was, she was advanced in age.
Advanced in age, which meant she was probably around 30. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Probably she was a little older than Mary. But you know, considered barren, that they probably had been married since she was in her teens.
Well, sure.
Had not been born a child. So, you know, that was 15 years older than Mary. She was, you know, considered old.
Well, yeah, we think of old right now. Well, I battle that every day, David, because now I work with 45-year-olds and I call them kid.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, here comes the kid. He's 45.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shocker, though, when you consider the ages of all these people, really, Dave. It's hard for us to wrap our brain around the fact that functioning households had teenagers in it.
As leaders of the household.
An 18-year-old and a 16-year-old running the house with a couple of kids running around.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
That'd be on the news today.
Be on the news today. That's right. But back then, it was pretty standard. And
but you know what I'd love, too, is this a little bit of action going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary arose, and she hurried with haste. Now, I don't know about you. Us men are kind of chicken. We don't know what it's like to be pregnant.
No, I haven't come close.
But if you're pregnant and you're in the hill country zipping along, Mary was pretty strong.
Oh, now, had to be, yeah.
And I think the Lord equipped her with a little extra zip in her step.
I would think,
to get
yeah.
over there. But you know, what I also love about this scripture, too, is, you know, John the Baptist is already proclaiming Christ, and he's not even fully developed in the womb. He's leaping and hopping and jumping around.
Absolutely,
they could have heard
him,
you know, hollering in there. He's raising his hand in the air and say, yes!
You can imagine when they came together in the Elizabeth and Zechariah's house,
mm-hmm.
and that the Holy Spirit was just full. I mean, it was just that place was just packed out with the Spirit of God.
Oh, yeah.
And so all these cool things were happening. They didn't record all the cool things, you know, because I can only imagine what else was going on. But
well, sure. I'm sure she stayed there for more than a day.
Well, I would think,
she had to travel all the way there, and there were other conversations.
Other ones. But this was important because of the signal that was being received, you know, that John, who was going to be what they call the forerunner, he was prophesied.
He was
to be the
prophet.
One who would come to Christ. The last, well, Jesus had a prophetic role too, but John was the last prophet, per se, of Israel.
Christ. Yes, yes.
To proclaim. And he had a powerful ministry. He faced the challenges that Jesus would face, the detractors.
He lived a consecrated life. I believe some of the words describing him might be a Nazarite.
Which is a very
born son. Oh, since you blessed us with this son, we're giving him right back to the temple.
Yeah.
So sure. What I always wondered is the rest of the story here after Mary left. And we don't see that, but you know, did they stay in touch? Did she come back for the delivery? Things like that. You know, I've been blessed with all these grandchildren and. It's interesting how the females of the family take over during a birth and the males are sent outside. In the old days, you'd pace outside in the hallway, smoking a cigarette and hoping for the best, you know. Now men are in the delivery room, but these two seem to have a connection. I just wonder how that went.
It might even have been, again, we're speculating because the scripture does not say, but if Elizabeth was that far along, Mary may have come to help her and to be part of that birth. To assist, you know.
Like a midwife.
Well, yeah, although Mary probably didn't help deliver, but I mean, there was a midwife who came.
Sure.
But that, you know, you always have the family to help, mm-hmm. you know, get the hot water, get the towels, whatever. And then afterwards, you know, Elizabeth is going to be a little drained from her experience.
conversely, and yet Mary ends up delivering her baby alone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, although Joseph was there for sure, so yeah.
Maybe he stepped up and he didn't faint like we tend to do.
He was probably one of the early historical fathers who was able to stay. When the baby was being delivered,
had to.
But it was no one else. You know, the shepherds came later, but you know, and we'll read that next week. But this is yet another significant revelation in the Word of God. And the other thing that comes to me about John leaping in the womb is how recognizable the Son of God is to those that have a good heart, that are open. You know, I mean, these babies, I mean, there was God moving. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, John was going to get perhaps even to say God had already given him, John now, mm-hmm. you know, people, because I'm firmly believe that there's something going on, you know, in that mind, even though that child is in the womb.
Right.
You know, and because I'm also very pro-life, so I know there's a lot of good stuff going on there.
This is also a spiritual pregnancy, if you will.
They're
pregnant, but, you know, God is a worker. This is all Holy Spirit stuff, and there's a connection.
And there's a sense, the pregnant with faith, pregnant with the Word of God, that the only way I can experience pregnancy is to have the Word of God within me to be born. And that birth, when I'm willing to share the truth of God, how as He leads me, as He guides me.
Right.
You know, and we do that all the time, not knowing or not always thinking that the primordial model, if you will, is to look at what Mary went through in the birth of Christ, you know, the giving of the coming out of the womb of Jesus, the coming of the Word of God, literally the Logos, God speaking.
That's right.
Revealing Himself. Whew, powerful stuff.
People need to get excited about this.
Yeah.
You know, we read these stories every season, right? You go to your church and these things are bought out and then they're put away again. I don't know why people do that, but... you know, this is only to be done in December. We only read this in December. You know, you can read this anytime you want.
Yes.
You don't have to stick to a calendar, a date, because this is going to feed you. You, in your own calls, David just said he was pregnant in faith. I have so much to say about that, but I can't. But yeah,
it's true.
It overflows, because when I was ordained, I went to work the next day, and I bumped into a physician who's up in Fort Pierce, who's also a Baptist minister, a pastor, and he stopped me in the hallway of the hospital, and he said, "Something's changed in you. There's a glow about you. There's an afterglow. Were you ordained?"
Oh,
now,
wow.
That, to me, it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit's communicating back and forth, and us human beings are just kind of saying, duh, we get in the way. But he recognized, he took the time to listen to the Holy Spirit saying, talk to that guy.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, we smiled, and that was the beginning of our relationship, because I had no clue that he had been going to seminary.
Uh-huh.
And he had been in medical practice for a good 20 years before he went to seminary.
Mm.
But... it's interesting. You know, the first thing he taught me, David, if you're going to be pastoring a church and another pastor asks you what you're preaching about next Sunday, he said, don't answer him. He's fishing for a sermon. Wonderful man.
Okay.
But I bring this up only because, my dear friends, you recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in people.
Mm.
And it's working in you, too. So this is all connected. These two women were connected in that room, wherever that room was.
Yeah.
And it's what's interesting is I think that their babies were communicating back and forth while moms were talking about other things. I just get the biggest kick out of the enthusiasm of John the Baptist. Because as we all know, he was the Energizer Bunny, and he was only going to talk about Christ, nothing else. You have to wonder if he's one of these kids that started speaking at a very early age.
You know, 2 or 3, maybe,
Or maybe even 2 or 3 months. Who knows? He was just so excited about the program. His personality was already showing, David.
Was already showing, and the excitement And we know we can kind of fast forward to the Gospels where he is mentioned, and the he was that prophet who was not just like every other prophet in the calling for repentance of Israel, but because he was the forerunner, his added commentary as a prophet was the kingdom of God is coming.
And then Jesus continued that when he began his ministry.
Because Jesus' birth into the world is the birth of the kingdom.
That's right.
Because Jesus is God. And the kingdom of God is God. You know, it's not a separate place God made, like a theme park. You
it's
know,
not,
like,
David. It's
not like Disney World. Yeah. Disney made that. No. Really, because God is spirit. And, you know, we are in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're in God, those who believe. So we're always, once we're in Christ, we're always in Christ if you're saved. And so, therefore, the kingdom of God is within him. It's God. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll know it fully when we die. Our spirits go to be with Jesus or in God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All the communion of saints, all the people who've been saved throughout time
billions.
Are there. Billions, probably, or trillions. I don't know. We're now learning that number since of all these budget stuff being passed in
never
Washington.
I thought I'd say the word trillion. Well, you know, yeah. True. And I tell you... When you're picked up by the Holy Spirit and pulled along at an accelerated pace, it is exhilarating.
Yeah.
And I think a few programs back, I mentioned the fact that when I was at, I keep giving this plug for Sam's Club, and I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. They have great steaks. But anyway, where a fellow Christian began to speak about Christ to me, and then another Christian overheard the name Jesus Christ. They came over, and that customer service desk, that particular moment in time, was church. It was the body of Christ. People were getting excited. They were speaking loudly and boldly, and the joy was just bubbling over in them. Unplanned, David. Yeah. No one thought when they went to that store that day that there would be in this corner of this big box store the presence of Christ and all these people proclaiming Christ and what he's done in their lives. You have to wonder what happened after that, because someone, maybe they were timid, they didn't want to jump in the conversation, but they heard it, and it started to plant a seed in them where they got hungry. They were spiritually hungry. I want that.
And the next time they heard a testimony, maybe they actually had the courage to go up and ask.
Step up and do it.
Step up and do it. And that's, that to me, you know, speaking now, tying it back into...
to this.
To that story of John leaping in the womb.
Right.
I believe I can understand the you know, from that fetal joy. I mean, he was in there, but there was something going on. It was Holy Spirit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He knew, you know, there was he was in the presence of the living God. And, you know, we have the opportunity, we're given that opportunity to be in the presence of the living God. We receive Jesus, then we're right into his presence.
Right.
You know, and he wants us always to be prayerful and ask, you know, to see his face. Amen. You know, this is I was reading the Psalms recently, I can't remember which number, but David was talking about wanting to see the face of God, you know, and Jesus wants us to see his face. And so, in a sense, John in the womb leapt for joy at seeing the face of God, being in the presence of God. Powerful stuff.
It is powerful.
And that didn't cease.
And both these moms had stepped aside and gave up their children to the church. Now, if you think about your life right now, if you're a parent, if you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids out there, whatever you got, would you be strong enough in your faith to take this child and give this child back to God? That's powerful stuff, David. And you have to wonder, am I strong enough? Could I do that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still in wonderment and puzzled by the fact that God himself gave me his only son in payment for my sins.
Yeah.
I can't run that through my brain, David, and make any sense out of it as a parent. I don't understand that kind of love. I just don't. I don't understand it. I will understand it.
Yes.
One day, as we stand before him. But right now, are we strong enough to do something like that?
Well, you know, this is not to convolute scripture, but in Genesis, when, you know, Abraham is called by God to take his son.
And he's Isaac, walking up the mountain with a knife in his hand?
With then God saying, you know, to sacrifice your son. And obviously that's a foreshadowing of the crucifixion.
That's right.
We know that.
Yeah.
And at the last moment, as the knife is poised over the Isaac's chest, and Moses, I'm sure with tears streaming down his face, is just about ready to plunge that knife in his heart, and the, you know, angel tells him to stop, not to do that. And
they,
But he would understand. You know, he would understand.
Yeah, he would. He would. And that, you know, I know we went way off the track here, but it's the love of a mother for their child here that we're talking about. And these two, you know, they were pregnant. They were about to be moms. So there had to be a certain degree of excitement there and anticipation and possibly the birth process. We don't understand that, but women do. And that was in the back of their minds as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some work to do here. We call it labor. And this is, you know, it's in their plan. It's coming.
It's in the plan, but it's part of a larger package, I think, in talking to some women who have had born children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married to one, you know, and you are too. It's part of a larger gift. And that with that is the joy of being able to give birth.
Amen.
And have that child come out into the world, you know, and nurture it.
You know, I see the humbleness and the humility in Elizabeth here when she said, and why is this granted to me?
Yeah.
Me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
What, does she get it or what?
She's getting it.
She is.
And that's kind of where, you know, that's where I want to be. I'm not saying I am, but I want to have that. It's a God-given humility.
Right.
You know, I can't generate it. It's not even, I don't think, part of my DNA.
You're not going to be the most humble man, accepting the most humble man award, David?
No, probably
And wear
not.
It proudly?
I'm not even going to be offered the award, Barry, you know, but no. Yeah, but yeah, if you think you're humble, you're not. But I believe that grace, God's grace, enables us to have that essential God. It's God's humility. Think about that for a minute.
And these scriptures are oozing grace right here, David.
Oh, falling right out of the page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, friends, you know, we like to encourage you to read the Word, get into it, pray about it, ask the Spirit to guide, and dig deep. You know, be a, in the proper sense of the word, you know, a biblical archaeologist. No, you're not digging in the sands of Egypt. You're digging into the Word of God.
Mm.
It's right there. You got a Bible, and the Spirit will help you. This is rich stuff.
You know, I visit residents in nursing homes, and I love the ones that demand to have their children bring their Bible in.
Mm.
David, I've seen some Bibles that are so beaten and so torn and folded and mutilated, and I just smile because, number one, I get to know them a little bit better because you could tell what part of the Bible was their favorite.
Yeah.
And some of the of our forefathers have taken upon themselves to leave little notes in the margin.
Yeah.
And if you've ever read a 95-year-old person's Bible, you will know their family's business.
Yes, right.
But I love the fact that they've got to have that with them because, yes, they take their medication. Yes, they're in rehab. They do all this stuff. But the real feeding is going on in the Word. And we can learn a lot from these folks because they're quiet, they're humble, and they desperately need to be fed every day the Word. Without that, they're lost.
And that's their true feeding, that no matter what else is lacking in their life. And I've met people, and you know, because I did similar stuff in hospice, I met a lot of people, they had very little, but they had Jesus.
They had Jesus.
And they were some of the richest people that I knew.
Right here, Mary's the richest one in the room.
Yeah.
Because over and over, we're hearing people exclaim, you know, you are so blessed.
Yeah.
To be carrying the Lord. You are the most blessed woman I know.
But now, today, and from that point forward, now we can carry Jesus. I have him in me.
Me too.
In my heart. You do.
I do.
All believers do. And, I mean, isn't that cool? Listen, listeners, isn't that cool? Just nod your head because we can't hear you.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to call us right now because we're doing this program kind of later in the evening. You're
later
probably
in the
already
evening.
Asleep.
That's right. But that is just all of this stuff. Yeah, I mean, you can start at any place in the Bible, and you know, you can pick up that thread of God's saving grace, His perfect mercy, and how that, you know, ultimately we come into the New Testament and we see the birth of Christ, and all that. That's all together. It's all linked.
It's all linked, and my friends, this is the mind of God.
Amen. Amen.
Not just words typed on a page.
That's right.
Not just words from some scribe or some schmutzy old monk in the year 500 AD, you know? I mean, this is God.
This is the Word of God, and that's why it's so powerful, why it's not just a book.
Amen.
And, you know, as we're coming, we're running out of time, so... But one thought that I had...
Mm-hmm.
And this has to do, when we're reading this story of Mary visiting Elizabeth, Elizabeth in some ways can stand for those who have yet to believe, who are well along in their life, age-wise.
Right.
And have yet to meet Jesus. But the opportunity, whoops, oh, beating on my mic here. Sorry about that.
He didn't fall down, folks.
No, I didn't fall down. I hit my mic because I was gesticulating with my hands because I'm so excited. And... But the point is that Elizabeth can stand for you. If you're not a believer today, if you don't know Jesus, you haven't wanted to know Him up until maybe now, and you're saying, well, I've got too much history. I mean, I've done too much. I've all this sin business. I'm beginning to recognize it. But no, you know, the point is at any point along the way,
right,
that you can invite Jesus into your heart. He doesn't care how old you are. What you've done in your life, if in your wake, if you are probably maybe considered to be the world's worst sinner, doesn't matter, because when you turn to Jesus and you ask Him to come into your life and you repent of all your sins, you know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus is faithful to respond, come into you, become a part of you, into your innards, your spiritual innards. And He will forgive your sin.
No wonder John the Baptist was leaping in the womb.
Amen, because already he knew.
He knew.
You know?
Here we go. The plan has started.
And 30-some years later, he was leaping into the Jordan to baptize his cousin, Jesus.
There you go.
Well, our time is up. God bless you all. Look forward to your tuning in next week.
Oh, yeah. I want to say something, David. I drive around sometimes thinking about what we've done and the programs, and I just hope this touches your heart. I just hope that it gives you the idea that, you know what, I've waited too long. I'm going to go. I'm finding Jesus.
Amen.
And come to Jesus before someone has to come to you in a hospital or in a hospital bed and do a quickie baptism. You can go to Him now, today, tonight,
Amen.
This moment. Amen.
And have a great life now.
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 Don't put it off.
No. But we have to put this off until next week. God
sure.
bless you all.
God bless.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.